Father God, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that you sent your word to give us life, to give us deliverance, to give us the hope that is sure in you. We thank you that your word comes and the entrance of your word brings light. We look forward, Father, to hearing from your heart, knowing what your will is, and being able to operate in the way that you have instructed us to so that we can be successful in life and successful in getting your kingdom expanded throughout our world in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic for the first hour is going to be praying in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name. There are four simple goals, really, for this lesson. First is to give a definition of prayer. You don't have to write these down, just so you know. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you, and then I'm going to tell you what I taught you, and then we'll go from there. So we're going to give you a simple definition of prayer. We're going to explain who we pray to and why. We're going to explain why we pray in Jesus' name and why it's so important and powerful. And explain in simple terms what happens when we pray in Jesus' name. Okay. Our foundation scripture is going to be John 16, 23 and 24. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. In John chapter 16, we find Jesus teaching his disciples, and he's teaching specifically on the topic of prayer. In verse 23, it begins and says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." First question is, what is prayer?
Talking to God.
That's it. It's a conversation. Dialogue with God. It's not, here's my wish list, deposit, run away. It is as importantly a time of listening as it is a time of talking, maybe even more important, really, when we stop and think about it. When we think about it that way, is there anybody who can't pray?
No.
Okay? So everybody can pray. The question is not whether we can, it's whether or not we have confidence in our prayer life. Okay? Part of praying in Jesus' name is understanding what your position is and what his position is and how we operate accordingly. If we pray as Jesus instructed, we're praying to the Father. Okay? We're praying to the Father. Jesus said that he prayed to the Father. We know what's probably the most famous prayer in Scripture.
The Lord's Prayer.
The Lord's Prayer, which starts out,
Our Father.
So he's praying to his Father. In John chapter 20, back up just a little, go forward just a little bit. John chapter 20, verse 17. This is Jesus speaking to Mary in the garden, and he says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." We don't think about this. When we talk about Christianity, a lot of people talk about the fact that Christianity is not monotheistic. Is that true?
Yes and no.
Okay, you're right. Yes and no. It's true because we believe in the Trinity, and we talk about the Godhead being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that they are all God, that they all share equal status, except that Jesus says the Father is God. The Father is his God, and the Father is our God. And in that respect, we're monotheistic, in that no matter what else we look at, Jesus and the Holy Spirit always defer to the will of the Father. So therefore, he becomes the guiding force in everything that we believe. The reason that it's not a problem as far as the Godhead is that they all say the same thing, think the same thing, go the same direction. They share a common will, and they share a common heart. So we don't have to worry about whether there's one or three. That really doesn't matter. The three are one, and the one are three. But when we're praying, Jesus makes it clear we're praying to the Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, and keep in mind that he's writing to a group of people who are very familiar with polytheism. They have seen the gods of Greek culture all around them. They've seen the temples. They've seen the sacrifices that go on. They are a bustling thoroughfare of international trade. And he's speaking to them and he says, "For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us," that's a key point, "yet for us, there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, and through whom we live." 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6. Now, as we look at this, this poses something that we don't really talk about very much, but Jesus actually is through Paul, giving us a definition of roles here that we may not have caught on to. It says here that the Father is God and Jesus is Lord. Now, what's the difference?
The Lord is in obedience to the Father.
Okay, and in this case, we definitely can say that the Lord Jesus is submitted to the Godhead of the Father. The Father is God. Jesus is submitted to him, but yet he is called Lord. The Lord is the one who implements the will of the sovereign.
Okay? Delegation.
It's all about rank and delegation, yes. Jesus, and we see this in creation as well. Who is it that created the universe?
Jesus. God through Jesus.
Okay. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Right? And we know that the word God there is the word Elohim, and it's plural. They did it together. The Father said, "This is what I want done." Jesus said, "Make it happen." The Holy Spirit made it happen. And that's exactly the way that it works. That the Father's will is the thing that guides everything.
And that's described in Proverbs 8.
Okay.
You seen that one?
Probably.
That's awesome.
But as we look at this, Jesus really has chosen to submit himself to the will of the Father, and in that chooses to say, "I have no will of my own." Okay? He does have the ability to have his own will, but he has chosen to submit his will to the will of the Father. And we see in the Garden of Gethsemane, we see this played out the best. Because in Gethsemane, he's praying and he says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." He exchanges what he would like to see happen. Because he says, "I don't want to go through this. I don't want to have to take on the sin of mankind. I don't want to have to become sin. But nevertheless, not my will, your will be done." And he takes on the will of the Father as his own will. Okay? But he is implementing that will through all of creation. So is it wrong to pray to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
It's not as effective because praying to God is what Jesus said to do.
Okay. Right, let's come back to our basic definition of prayer. What is prayer?
Talking to God.
It's talking to God. So is it wrong to talk to Jesus and the Holy Spirit?
No. You should be allowed to talk to them.
Okay. So and here's where we start to see people get caught up in doctrinal problems because they forget the basics. Okay. Prayer is just conversation. It's just dialogue. Are we to be in constant dialogue with the Holy Spirit?
Uh-huh.
Yes. Okay. Are we to be in constant conversation with the Lord Jesus?
He would like that, yeah.
Okay. If we're going to have a relationship, that's what it has to be. It has to be there, right? Okay. So, then this whole thing about praying to the Father in Jesus' name, what's that all about then?
When you're asking for something.
Bingo.
Petitional prayer.
Okay, so when we are making intercession, or when we are making a petition for ourselves, then we are going to who?
God.
The Father. Okay? Why do we go to the Father instead of to Jesus or the Holy Spirit?
Because Jesus said to. He said, okay. Ask the Father.
First and foremost, because of the instruction that we have,
yeah.
That he says, ask the Father in my name. But who is the source of all things?
God
the Father. It's his word that brings all of these things into existence. Okay, so if we go to Jesus and say, Jesus, can we have such and such and so, what's he going
to
do?
Talk to Daddy.
Go talk to the Father. Okay, he refers us to the Father. He refers us to what the Father says. He refers us to the Father's promises. He refers us to the will of the Father. Is he going to tell us anything different than the Father?
No.
No, not at all. And then we're going to look and look specifically at praying in Jesus' name. And as we do that, it then becomes even more ridiculous to stop and say, well, why don't we just go to Jesus about all this? Now, when we're learning about prayer and we go and we pray to Jesus, is he going to go, sorry, can't help you?
No.
That's important because we see people get caught up in this kind of stuff. And you see people, you know, there's always the confession police out there trying to catch you and saying something you're not supposed to say. Let's keep in mind that when we're dealing with our children, do we correct them constantly? Well,
not constantly.
Should we correct them constantly?
No, there has to be affirmation.
Okay. We need to encourage them in the right direction. If they come to us and their heart's right, but they're a little off in their application, that's the time we teach them. We don't beat them up. We don't harass them. We teach them the right direction.
Thank goodness we don't.
Well, there are people who do. We just don't want to be those people. Mm-hmm. Okay. As we look at what Jesus teaches here, he says that we are to pray to the Father. But we also know that we are to pray in Jesus' name. And we also know that we are to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18, anybody know what it says?
Praying always with all prayer and supplication.
Okay.
I can't think of the rest of it.
That's what it says. We are to pray at all times with all kinds of prayer. So if we do that, then that includes praying in the Spirit, right? So if we're praying in the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is praying with our spirit. In Romans chapter 8, it says that when we don't even know how to pray, that the Holy Spirit prays with our spirit, praying the perfect will of God. Well, if the Holy Spirit is praying with our spirit, who are we praying to? The Father. Okay? It's really not complicated. Okay? If you think about this as we were growing up and as our children are growing up and we're praying together, how often do we need somebody to lead us in prayer? We come in and we teach our children how to pray, right? We teach them how to pray for other people. We teach them by the things that we say. We teach them by the example that we lead. We teach them sometimes by just teaching them to repeat after me. Today I'm going to be doing the wedding with Barry and Jesse. We're going to come to the place of the vows, and I'm going to say, repeat after me. Because they have no clue what they're going to say. And their minds are everywhere but right here at the altar when we're doing this. Could they talk to each other without my help? Sure, they could.
I surely hope so.
Sure, they could. Is it a good thing to have somebody help you sometimes when you're a little frazzled?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here we come into a situation where the situation has us completely beside ourselves. We don't know even what to pray, much less whether or not we're getting the words right. What do?
Pray in the Spirit.
Okay, Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28, we pray in the Spirit. Praying the perfect will of God. Okay? Think about this. If you went in and asked your parents for something, and yet here you come and you don't know what you need, you don't know how you're going to get it, you come in and say, I need your help. Tell me what to ask for.
Like something's missing, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. So would a good parent jump in there and help?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, a good parent helps you discover. They don't just feed it to you. They help you discover what you need. And that can be through asking questions. That can be through sharing things that you already know, steering you in the right direction. And that's the Holy Spirit working with us. The Holy Spirit comes to teach us all things and to remind us of the things we've already been taught. Okay? So when we're coming into prayer, is he going to behave any differently? No. And so we come into prayer and we're going to pray in the Spirit. And he's going to remind us of the things that we already know that the Word says. And the Word is what causes faith to rise up on the inside of us. Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by
the Word.
So faith rises in us because of the Word that's in us. Well, what if we don't have the Word that we need? He's going to teach us. And there are times when we're going to know things that we've never read. Because the Holy Spirit, who is the one who provides inspiration for Scripture in the first place, is there speaking into us. And have you ever been sharing with somebody and you heard something come out of your mouth and you go, man, that was good. I wonder where that came from. It's the Holy Ghost.
And so like he's the one that, like, when you open your Bible to somewhere that you don't even know where you are going yet, he directed you to
right.
That. Okay.
No, that's not when you flip them.
No, but I meant like when you read it and it's obviously exactly what you needed at
right.
That time. Okay.
Right. When we pray and speak either to Jesus or the Holy Spirit, we need to speak to them based on the role that they play in the kingdom of God. Jesus as the Lord is the one who is giving direction. He's the one who gives direction from the throne at the right hand of God for things to happen. And the Holy Spirit is the one who implements the word that is given. So operating with them in that way, we are not asking them to step out of their role, we're asking them to fulfill their role. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 34, we see that we are going to be up against things from time to time. Romans chapter 8, 31 through 34. When those things come against us, Romans 8, 31 starts and says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who ever makes intercession for us. Okay. What's Jesus doing?
Interceding.
Interceding and intercession.
He's also the judge.
Well, we'll get to that place.
He will also be the judge.
Right. As he's making intercession for us, intercession is a form of prayer, correct? Who is he praying to? God the Father. Okay. What is he saying?
That one's mine.
My little brother's in trouble.
All kinds of different things. Because he's looking out.
I know he's a mess. You know he's a mess. But he's our mess.
So it's a relay. You pray for somebody on the earth. Jesus picks it up and prays to the Father.
Well, actually, praying in Jesus' name, we're going to eliminate the link.
Okay.
And we'll see that here in a minute. But the reality is Jesus and the Father operate in the principle of agreement. Okay. The law of agreement states that where any two be agreed is touching anything, it will be done for them. Correct? Now, we're talking about in terms of applying it to the Father and our needs, but it also works among the Godhead. Have you ever thought about this? Here's Jesus, and he comes to the earth. Why are there three in the Godhead? When Jesus came to the earth, he operated differently than every other man who's been here, and he recognized the importance of saying the same thing that the Father said, of being in agreement with the Father.
And he operated differently than God the Father and the Holy Spirit while he was on the earth.
Right. But he never disagreed with them. Because he understood that where any two are agreed, it will be done.
He's the Word made flesh.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
The Word of the Father,
yeah, the Word
manifest
of the Father
to
made,
us.
Made flesh.
Okay. In 1 John 2, 1 and 2, John's writing about Jesus, and he says, "My little children, these things I write to you that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation or the payment in full for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world." Okay. What does an advocate do?
Advocates.
Stands in place of.
For what reason?
Support.
Kathy, in your position there, you guys sometimes have to be the advocate for your clients. What do you do as you advocate for your clients? What is it? What's your goal?
Represent them.
We do the things that they can't do,
okay,
whether it's legally or physically or.
You stand
so,
in their place.
So what you, that's right. You stand in their place for their benefit.
Yeah.
Okay. So what Jesus is doing is not for his own benefit, it's for our benefit. And what he does is he brings the source or the supply in contact with the need. That's what an advocate does. He's there to bring the need and the supply together that the need may be satisfied. Okay.
And then, like, another big part of his, though, is, like, anytime Satan goes before the Father attacking us, he stands up big time for that, too.
Well, we're still back in the role of the advocate. The source of reward is the Father.
Mm-hmm.
The need is we need reward. We need somebody to stand in and explain why we qualify. Okay? When you have a lawyer who is your advocate, he's getting in there giving the legal basis for why you qualify for the benefit. Okay. Then what's the role of the Holy Spirit?
Counselor.
Counselor, which is what?
Helper.
Legal aid.
Counselor is a guide.
Okay, it's a guide. Someone who
an
is
advisor.
Giving you advice, direction about how to get from point A to point B. Someone who is giving you the ability to apply the knowledge you have by bringing wisdom to the situation. Yes, you have this knowledge, but here's how you have to apply this knowledge. Okay, that's what a counselor does. He is called the Comforter. In John 14:26, Jesus says, "I've got to go away. And I've got to go away so that the Helper can come, the Comforter can come. I am sending you," and I like what he says. He said, "I'm sending you another Comforter." So in other words, the Holy Spirit's going to act just like Jesus. We're not going to see any different behavior out of him. We're not going to see any different role out of him in terms of our operating in the earth. Jesus came to show us how to do it and how to do it right. The Holy Spirit's here to teach us how to do it and how to do it right. Okay. Now, when we talk about prayer, I said this earlier, prayer is a dialogue. The old adage says you have two ears and one mouth, that you might spend more time listening than talking. Okay. If we apply that to our prayer life, how does it change things?
A lot.
We would grow exponentially.
Why?
Because we would actually be listening more to God, who has the real wisdom, instead of trying to tell him how it should be. and learning from him, instead of just being in charge of it. Like.
Okay. Most people, when we talk about prayer life, their prayer life is coming in, carrying on a monologue and leaving. Okay. They either come in.
They don't have any understanding that.
Well, they don't have
hear.
The relationship.
They don't know
that lets
that
happen.
Have one.
So they come in. They have a printed prayer that they pray. You know, whether it's the Lord's Prayer, the Hail Mary, whatever it is, it doesn't really matter what it is, because the fact of the matter is, if you're sitting there reading a prayer, you've missed the whole point of what prayer is all about. Prayer is a dialogue. It's a conversation between you and God. If I come in, Jeffrey, and you and I sit down, and I ask you a question, and I never give you the chance to answer it, How are you going to feel about that? What do you think, Larry?
I'm going to feel like I'm being talked at.
Did you just get what he did to you?
Yeah.
Ripper probably won't be coming back in for another conversation.
Well, see, that's the thing, you know. Thank God for his patience. Oh, man. Amen. Thank God for his patience. Because he doesn't give up on us. My grandson is a wonderful kid. I love him with all my heart. Sometimes I just wish he'd stop talking. He will talk nonstop forever. And I often wonder how you can talk that much. And he never runs out of things to talk about. He will just talk and talk and talk and talk. He actually bought about a one-inch thick book of trivia so that he wouldn't run out of things to talk about.
But it does go in.
Things
have to go in order to come
out. Oh, yeah, but the problem is there's no conversation that way. It's all one-sided.
Well, he maybe doesn't understand conversation.
Well, he's got some learning to do. And that's the thing that we need to understand is that this is a growing process as well. When we're young, you know, Peyton is a little over a year and a half, and our dialogue with Peyton is, what's that? What's that? What's that? What's that? And when you get it right, she tells you, yeah. What's that? It's a ball. Yeah. Yeah. And you ask her, what's that? I don't know. Well, that's such and such. Yeah. I thought you didn't know. Yeah. You know, our conversation with her is much more limited than our conversation with our daughter, our conversation with each other, our conversation with the other people around us.
Jeffrey. But it's still conversation.
It's still conversation. But if we have been in Christ for 25 years, and we're still having the what's that conversation, something's wrong. This needs to be a developing relationship that increases over time, and that as time goes on, we can have a deep, meaningful conversation with God, where we come in, ask a question, and spend the next 30 minutes listening to his answer and being wowed. How many of you know that God has more to say than you do?
Mm-hmm. He's been around for a while.
We need to understand that we need to spend more time listening than we do talking, because number one, God's smarter than we are. Okay. Number two, the only way you can give your full attention to somebody is by listening, not talking. That's a hard one for some people. Some people have to respond to everything that's said, whether it requires a response or not. Sometimes you just need to perfect the art of listening. Because, believe it or not, the other person has something that's worth saying. And the last thing, when we're talking about this, we spend more time listening than we do talking, because that shows respect for what the other person brings to the conversation. Okay. When we talk about prayer, our prayer is to be made to the Father in Jesus' name. Okay. Now, when we talk about praying in Jesus' name, what does that mean? What does it mean, Jeffrey?
He's the oldest son. He is the first one, so we are praying through the heir. Sorry, no.
Nope.
Never mind.
It's okay. Good try.
Right.
It's like back in the old day with the seal on the letters.
Okay.
Like, it's like we're submitting a letter to God, but Jesus is still on it already.
Okay.
Jesus' name. He's given us the authority to use
okay.
His name.
It comes
Jesus
down
said,
to authority.
All authority and power has been given to me.
Therefore, you go. In my name you shall cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. In his name means, and this is, if you get this, this is shouting ground. In Jesus' name means you are standing in position as if it's Jesus himself doing it.
His ambassador.
Okay. In his name is the same as if he himself is doing it.
It's kind of daunting.
It's very much so. But it takes all of the pressure of my ability away. Because I have none. I'm not operating in my ability. I'm not operating in my authority, in my strength, in my wisdom. I'm operating in Jesus' name. Now, if I'm going to operate in Jesus' name, then the things that I do better be the things that Jesus does. The things that I say better be the things that Jesus says. Now, how many of you think you can get that right every time?
No, we can't.
Okay, so then how do we do it?
In the Spirit.
Right back to Romans chapter 8. When we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays with our spirit, praying the perfect will of God. When we don't know what to say, who is it that comes and brings us the words? The Holy Spirit. This life in the Spirit is life in Jesus' name. And we need to understand that when we stand in that place, it's the same as Jesus standing there. What devil can stand against the authority of the name of Jesus?
None.
Okay? What physical situation can withstand the authority of Jesus' name? See why it's shouting ground? I mean, think about this. What are you going to come up against that's too big to stand against the name of Jesus? Nothing.
Even the window bays.
Exactly. Okay. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father."
Verse?
Verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14.
Oh, 3, 14.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ephesians 3:14. "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Okay? Who's he praying to?
The Father.
The Father of who?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. Okay? Who's our God?
The Father.
The Father. Okay? Who, when we pray, we're praying to the Father in Jesus' name. We are standing in the same position that Jesus stands in. What did the Father say about Jesus? Jesus gets baptized. What's the Father say?
This is my Son, in whom I am pleased.
Son, in whom I am well pleased.
My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what's our standing?
Beloved children, whom he is well pleased.
Okay. Which means, when it says, well, please, this is the one on whom I pour my favor.
Amen.
You are his favorite. If you stand in this position. Okay. We know that we are, as the Bible teaches, seated together with him in the heavenlies. We are at the right hand of God, just as Jesus is the right hand of God.
We're joint heirs.
Joint heirs, which means we share equal standing. If you have somebody who is in the will and they're all joint heirs, that means they all get an equal share. Now here's the thing that blows your mind. Jesus got
100%. We get 100%.
Right. Which really is mind-bending. But then, if you take time to look at the universe we can see, it ought to warp your mind. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. I have said before, my favorite teacher in school when I was going through Bible school was Bob Yandian. Bob Yandian would start class saying, "Okay, break out your water-cooled ink pens, here we go." Whoom. And we would start into class, and it was all you could do to keep up. So I'm trying...
You're doing what he does.
...to be a good Bob Yandian.
You're succeeding.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus..." Okay, we're entering into the holiest place, the Holy of Holies, the heavenly Holy of Holies. And how do we get there?
Through Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus. Okay? "By a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest, Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as we see the day approaching. When it's talking about this, first of all, it's talking about coming into the presence of God. How do we come in?
Through the blood of Jesus.
Why do we come in?
I missed that part.
Because that's the place to be.
To have a relationship.
It's about relationship. This is all about the relationship. Do we come in solely to bring our needs?
No.
No, it's not solely gimme, 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 gimme. It's communication.
It's fellowship.
Okay.
Sharing. And
when you come in, is there something you can bring with you that's going to bless the Father?
Praise.
Praise and worship. Okay? Praise and worship. That's the thing that he wants more than anything. I've shared the story before. I have a rock, oval rock about this big, that's painted to look like a ladybug that my son Ben made when he was in kindergarten. To this day, I keep that rock. It's not going to win any art contests. It's not going to stand out as anything special, but he gave it to me because he loved me. I don't need anything else. I don't need any other reason to hang on to that. That makes it valuable to me. When we think about our offerings that we bring into God, whether it's our financial offerings, our praise and our worship, in reality, it's that rock. Come on. God designed the New Jerusalem in such ornate construction that it blows our mind. Streets paved with gold, gates made of pearl. I mean, come on, that's a little over the top. You think Trinity Broadcasting looks a little over the top? Wait till you see the New Jerusalem. Right? So what do we bring that's of any real value?
Ourselves, our worship, our praise.
We're made in his image.
Verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith.
That's it.
Yeah.
Seriously want to be there.
Yeah. It's all about the relationship. Okay? Romans 5:1-2 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It's all about the relationship. It's all about access. Now, for those of you who are parents, when you have a compliant child, and that compliant child wants something, what are you willing to do to get it to them?
Anything.
Okay. If you have a child that is non-compliant, then what are you willing to do?
Just about anything to not comply with them.
Make them sweat.
Yeah.
And even in that, we're not trying to be mean to them. We're not trying to cause them pain and suffering. What we're trying to do is get them to understand the connection between their compliance and reward. We're trying to get them to understand that the place of favor is the place of submission. We're trying to get them to see there's a right and a wrong way to do things. Do it the right way. Okay? When you do it the right way, the reward will always come. Have you ever gotten to the place where you just thought it and God did it?
Oh, yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is pretty cool. Because there's none of the begging, none of the pleading, none of the other stuff that we think we have to do. We think it.
He wants us to know that he knows our heart.
Well, that's part of it. But if we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he gives us the desires of our heart.
Right. And a lot of those are okay. Totally unspoken. Because nobody ever knows what they are except for you and God.
Well, and you're not even thinking about asking for it.
Yeah.
It's just something that you have a dream about it in there.
You know, you can just take that too far, though, because I've heard people say, God knows my heart. He knows what I want.
That's true.
That's why I don't
That's true.
Pray.
But he says, no, he ask.
Yeah, he does.
Okay, so there's a command to ask. So we shouldn't not ask, but there are overwhelming blessings that come that we never asked for, because he's looking for a way to bless us. He's trying to find a way to bless us. And the more compliant we are, the more readily blessings become available to us.
And often it's a blessing and we don't recognize it until after the fact.
So sometimes it's like the birthday present or something that you didn't expect to see come. That's just exactly what you wanted and never said.
Yeah.
Or like the anniversary, like if you remember something from a long time ago, it was her favorite, and all of a sudden you just do it.
Or you just caught that one little thing in a conversation.
And tucked it away.
Tucked it away, and then boom, make it happen. And the person goes,
holy crap.
I never expected.
I'm speechless.
I like those.
They don't last long. Sorry.
Let's go back to what Jesus said. He said, in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That's back at the source scripture, John 16, 23 and 24. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Why does he answer our prayer?
That he may be happy.
Yeah.
If it's in his will, he will.
Well, if it's not in his will, the Bible tells us in 1 John he doesn't even hear us.
Right.
Now think about that a little bit.
Yeah, but technically, sometimes in the Bible, didn't he give people what they wanted because they nagged enough, even though it was bad, so they learned?
Well,
like he released it.
You mean like Saul as king?
Yeah. Saul and Balak. Yeah. And
you ever have a non-compliant child that you said, okay, go ahead?
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just gotta, and then they learn,
there's a
wow,
teaching.
Maybe I should have listened.
There's a teaching that needs to take place.
You want to do it your way? Do it your way. Let's see how that works. Now, as a parent, are you ever going to do that in a way that puts your child in jeopardy?
No.
No.
It's going to bring their destruction. No. It's going to cause harm to them in any way.
No.
No. You want to do it in a way that it's a non-destructive situation.
A more controlled
that you can teach them through. See? If you had done what I said, wouldn't this have been easier?
You had to learn your lesson.
My son Ben has made the statement, I don't know how many times, you don't understand. I have to learn the hard way. And I've told him, no, you don't. You just choose to.
Yeah.
Most of us have to learn the hard way.
Most of us have to learn something the hard way to realize we don't have to learn the hard
Philippians
way.
Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Oh, I wish I could master this. Honestly, Father, I wish I could master this. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
We all know that.
I know it.
I think it's pretty cool how our verses come into other semesters, huh?
I know it.
But
mastery
just
of it is something that I am still working on.
That's like will till the day you die.
That's what we can parallel to cast your care on the Lord, for he cares for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
When I was in Africa several years ago, I acted unwisely and ended up with a parasite. Lost 17 pounds in 2 days. Was violently ill. In bed, in Africa, thinking about going to an African hospital is that's how bad it was.
That's worse.
That's worse.
Hospital.
And I remember as I was laying there beginning to pray and just feeling the Spirit of God descend on me. I mean, just the presence of God is strong. And I began praying, and as I'm praying, I heard myself speaking in the first person as if it was Jesus himself speaking. And speaking to my body, speaking to the situation, calling those things which be not as though they were.
That's what we're supposed to do.
And after I got done, I mean, praying with that kind of authority and power, I remember going, wow. And I heard the Father say, that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name.
That's how Kenneth.
I was out of bed the next day. I was preaching the next day. It is impossible. I'm going to tell you right now, it is impossible to recover that quickly from what was going on and be able to just go on and do what you're there to do. I came back, and this is where the testimony of this gets even better. I came back to the States. When I landed in D.C., I called the doctor and said, hey, this is what happened. I know what the situation was. I mean, I can tell you exactly what happened and how it happened. And I know that it was parasites. I know what went on. And he said, go straight to the hospital. We'll test you. We'll give you the medication that you need to deal with this. So I did. And I got there and they tested me. And they said, why are you here? Not only did I not have parasites, there was no evidence that I ever had. That's the effect of praying in Jesus' name. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The word peace there is shalom. It means nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing defective, nothing wanting, being complete and entire. And the peace of God, the overwhelming peace of God, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. How does that come? Asking God. Simple stuff, right?
But deep.
Okay. What is prayer?
Talking to God.
Okay. Who do we pray to?
God the Father.
Why?
Because he's the final authority of it all and everything comes down from him.
Okay. Why do we pray in Jesus' name?
Because Jesus said to, and he has, like, his name has the authority.
It carries the authority.
Okay.